And so last week we talked about this whole thing of how to encounter God's life-changing presence and what keeps us from it. And Doug talked 2 weeks ago about the transformation of the mind, replacing the lies of the enemy and the woundedness of the past that we say, okay, now this is the way life is supposed to be, and replacing them with the way God says, no, this is the way life is supposed to be. Replacing those truths, those lies with the truth of God's word. And this is an ongoing process. You never get to it. You'll never, ever get through it. And then last week I talked about kind of this residue that lays on our brain and our mind that keeps us from accessing the full measure of the mind of Christ. And that residue is just simply something that I called saturating influences is all it is. Whatever the saturating influence has been in your life, it impedes the mind of Christ for you. And it can be sports, it can be problems, it can be finances, it can be birthday parties, I don't know, just good stuff, bad stuff, neutral stuff, just a lot of stuff. It's just a saturating influence. And you saturate in that stuff long enough, and it becomes hard to really access the mind of Christ. And so today what we're going to be looking at are some of the other vision priorities that we have for 2018. And if you have our notes from last week, you'll recognize a few of these things about what our vision priorities are. And if you look at the screen, we talk about Jesus being the center of our lives, that we love and accept people where they are, and we provide opportunities for healing and restoration through experiencing the Father's love. Our encounter passages that are key to what we're trying to do this year are found in Psalm 62, verses 11 and 12. Read that with me. God has spoken plainly, and I have heard it many times. Power, O God, belongs to you. Unfailing love, O Lord, is yours. Surely you will repay all people according to what they have done. The two key things, he says, look, two things. This, in some translations, say two things I know about God, that one, he's powerful and he's loving. Say that with me. He's powerful, he's loving. Amen? He's powerful and he's loving. He's powerful. And that's what we want to encounter. We talk about encounter God's life-changing presence. That's what we want to encounter. His loving heart and his powerful hand. A couple of other passages about that we want to focus in on this year about our identity in Christ and how he views us. This Colossians 1, 21 through 23. Specifically, verse 22, he says, yet now he, Jesus, has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body, and as a result, he has brought you into his own presence, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. Can I hear an amen to that? Amen. Amen. That's us today, right now. I stand before him without a single fault, but he says, you need to continue in this truth. You need to really stand firm in it, because it's hard. It's hard to stand in that truth, but that's how God sees us today. And I'm telling you, when we begin to kind of live in that identity, we can encounter God's presence more readily. And then finally, the passage from Galatians chapter 3, two verses, verses 9 and 29, again, about encountering his presence, we need to know who we are. And he says, so all who put their faith in Christ share the same blessing Abraham received because of his faith. Verse 29, let's read together. And now that you belong to Christ, you are the true children of Abraham. You are his heirs, and God's promise to Abraham belongs to you. Amen. Amen. He blessed Abraham in every way, Genesis 24:1, and that's what God wants to do in our life. So bless it, because we're part of his family. We're part of Abraham's family. We're part of the family of God. And as I said, we have this major hindrance that keeps us from there, and it's this kind of the transformation of the mind. It's this brain film that keeps us there. But the thing I want to focus on today is this, is how do we know we've encountered the life-changing presence of God? We know we've encountered the life-changing presence of God when we can love and accept people where they are. Now, I want to tell you something. This I'm about to say, it will be revolutionary for some of you today. This truth that I'm about to share, about a month ago, the Lord opened up to me. He unlocked it to me. Now, some of you have been walking in this thing, and it's like, oh, I got that. But for me, this was like completely new. And it changed the way I began to perceive people and how to love them. I mean, how can you love and accept people where they are when they're mean and judgmental or unforgiving or prejudiced, hard-hearted, they're antagonistic, they may be atheist or mean atheist or whatever. I mean, how can you love people like that? Except, how can you accept them where they are? Just love them right there in that place. Without something sort of rising up in you, wanting to push back or wanting to, you know, throw anger back at them or something just wants to withdraw and says, get out of my life. I don't want you. You scare me. You make me mad. I mean, how can we love and accept people where they are? Stephen Covey wrote a book a number of years ago called Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. And so he came up with seven of these habits. He says, if you do these habits, you'll be really great. The second principle he came up, second key to a habit of, or second habit of a highly effective person is this. You begin with the end in mind. Say that with me. Begin with the end in mind. Now, I don't think Stephen Covey applied it the way I'm about to apply it. He applied it to, like, for instance, Kim Knapp back here. She ran the Houston Marathon. So begin with the end in mind. She thought, I'm going to run the Houston Marathon, okay? So she'd been preparing months and months. So begin with the end in mind. And she began. You may say, I want to become this kind of person. I want to be, you know, whatever. I want to be an engineer. I want to be a doctor. I want to be, you know, whatever. And so you begin with the end in mind. And you think, okay, work back to the, I want to be a more loving person. I want to be a more caring person. Okay, that's the end. That's what I want to work towards. But I want to apply it a completely different way. And that's with each other. It's been about a month ago. I get a call from my son, Aaron. Aaron lives out in L.A. He's trying to make it in the film industry, writing music, that kind of thing. It's hard. It's really hard. He's out there by himself. There's a lot of stresses, a lot of struggles. It's really difficult. He's been out there 3 years or so. And so he's had his challenges, and we get involved in those challenges, if you know what I mean, okay? So he calls us just on the 23rd of December, and he is in a major predicament. Now, let me just say it this way. It was not a moral issue, okay? So don't go there in your minds, okay? It was just young adult, bad decision kind of stuff, okay? So he just, anyway, so he's in a major dilemma, and it's the 23rd. And there's no, in all the offices, everything he needs to do to fix the problem, everything's shutting down. And so we get wrapped up in this scenario, and we are just, we're all over the map. Up until an hour before the Christmas Eve service, we're still just, what are we going to do? Now, his life wasn't in danger. It wasn't a moral issue, but it was a big issue. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Well, eventually it works itself out. So like the 28th of December, he calls me up and he says, we're talking about kind of how everything's worked out. Everything's good, all that. He said, Dad, I just wish you'd just get mad at me. I just wish you would just yell at me or just make me feel really, really bad. He said, why don't you just do that? Because I kept my cool. We'd work through it. I said, here's why, son. Because I do not see you as a screw-up. I see you as a success. Amen. Begin with the end in mind. Because that's the way I see my son. Here's the deal. Not just in this life, but more importantly, for all of life. When this life ends, the next life begins, he is a success. I see him as God destined for him to be. I see him with these kind of eyes. And I'm beginning to try to see everybody with these kind of eyes. Yet now, he has reconciled everyone that I know. Everyone I know, he has reconciled them to himself through the death of Jesus and his physical body. And as a result, all the people I know, the people who annoy me, who make me mad, who push my buttons, the people I want to stay away from, all those people, he has brought them into his own presence. And they're holy, and they're blameless, and they stand before him without a single fault. Everybody I know that's true for. You say, yeah, but maybe they're going to go to hell. Maybe they're not. Only God knows that. But I want to see everybody through those eyes. I want to begin with the end in mind. That's how God sees them. That's God's heart for them, right? Amen? That's God's desire for them. That's God's dream for them. When he created that person who just annoys me to no end, he created them with that in mind. And if they're a believer, guess what? I'm going to spend eternity with them. So why don't I begin learning how to love them now? Instead of waiting till eternity, okay, now I can love you. Why can't I begin seeing their God's dream for them now and live in that reality? Listen, God is helping me to see people as he intended for them to be and eventually will be for all eternity. And what we might see is we might see a hardened person, a prejudiced person, antagonistic person, a greedy person, a narcissistic person where it's all about them. But what God sees is a person who's loving, who's caring, who's forgiving, who's selfless, who's positive. You see, we cannot come into agreement with Satan. That's what we're doing, right? We come into agreement with Satan. They're hard. They're not going to come to Christ. They're just annoying me. They just lack self-discipline. They lack self-control. They're unforgiving. They're not the kind of person I want to be around. That's what Satan says. Are we going to come in agreement with that? Or what God says? Don't state to people, they'll always be that way. They'll just never change. They will always be that way because that's what Satan says about them. Jesus says, is anything impossible for me? We think of a guy, Richard Hancock, who's part of this congregation. Richard's dead. Richard's with the Lord. He died this summer. Most of you know that. I want to tell you something. Richard was a hard man. Even after he came to faith in Christ, he was a hard man. He had a lot of anger issues. And people who knew Richard early on said, man, oh man. In fact, one person I knew that was at the funeral said, I did not know that he had changed that much. Because he wasn't in contact. He only knew Richard as a young man. And then you asked Dinah, tell me about the last year of Richard's life. And she said, you know what? I married the sweetest man I'd ever met in my life. He had been changing. He had been radically changing over the last 15 years or more. But she said even that last year, he changed even more. Is anything impossible for God? We begin with the end in mind. We believe for that person it will be on earth as it is in heaven for them. We believe for that person it's on earth as it is in heaven. In heaven, you're going to be reconciled to God. You're going to be happy. You're going to be generous. You're going to be loving. I'm believing that now on earth for you. Too many Christians, listen to me, too many of us Christians right here, we got an Antichrist spirit about us. An Antichrist spirit about us. You say, man, I ain't following no Antichrist. What are you talking about, boy? I'm not just talking about the Antichrist who's going to come and just, you know, try to take over the world and kill Christians. I'm talking about the Antichrist spirit. What's the Antichrist spirit? It is the anti-Jesus spirit. We are against anything that Jesus is for. And that person that just tears you up, guess what? He's for them. He's for them. We cannot take upon an Antichrist spirit. Be against the very ones that Jesus is for. I'm not saying that he's for their sin, he's for their agenda. He's not necessarily for, but he is for them. He is for them to experience that. Amen? He is for them to experience that, to be holy and blameless in his sight. He is for them to be everything he desired for them to be. He is for them to know him. He is for them to know him. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his son into the world to what? To condemn it. But many of us have that spirit of condemnation on us, don't we? We got the ministry of condemnation. I'll tell you why I don't like them, and we'll give them 5 reasons. I'll tell you why I don't like that politician. I'll tell you why I don't like that actor or that actress. I'll tell you why I don't like that billionaire, that millionaire. I'll tell you why I don't like my boss. I'll tell you why I don't like my neighbor. I'll tell you why I don't like my mom, my dad, my siblings. I'll tell you why I don't like. Let me just tell you why. And God said, but I do. And I got a plan for them. and I see them with the destiny I created for them to be. Listen, when you enter into that, then you can join in agreement in praying for people. Because so many times when we pray for people who are kind of far from God or who rub us the wrong way, we pray in anger or fret or worry or frustration. We're just like, oh God, please, would you hurry? You know, all that kind of stuff. No, we can say, but Lord, I know your heart for him. Your heart for him is for him to know you, to walk in his purpose, for him to live a blameless life before you. And Lord, I join in agreement with that. I believe for the same thing. That is your will for him. And so, Lord, I say yes to it, on earth as it is in heaven. Like, I'm telling you, it changes your prayer life. Because how often are we praying for people and it's just out of just anger or frustration or whatever? And we're not praying in much faith. We're just praying because we're angry or upset. But when we pray in faith, we're saying, Lord, your heart is here and I'm coming into agreement with it. I'm agreeing with your heart for that. I'm telling you. You don't have to pray that long either. That's a good thing. Some of us, we pray hours and hours and hours. And honestly, you put all your prayers together for one or two, three, 10 people, whatever, it'd fill up, you know, 10 truckloads of praying, you know? But when you just come into agreement with God, it's pretty short. So, Lord, I see what you're doing, and I know what your will is, and I'm agreeing with it. Do it. Do it, Holy Spirit. Again, you may have to put up the boundary with the person. You may have to have the hard conversation with them. You may have to push them out of your life in some ways. That's fine. But see, it doesn't come out of an angry spirit. It comes because it's just healthy. That's the way it needs to happen. But in your mind, you say, but I see what God can do. I see what he can do in your life. Because nothing is impossible for God. Can I hear an amen to that? Amen. See, isn't that good? Amen. That's good. I mean, we could just stop there and say, that's done. You do that. You do that this week. Do it this week. It changes everything. You think, in fact, right now, just think about that person or group that just annoys you, that you're angry with, you're off put, just whatever. Think about that person, that group. Just think about them. And then ask the Holy Spirit, say, Lord, let me see them the way they were, you, when you made them millions of years ago in your mind, when you were thinking about them millions of years ago, when you were thinking about them, what did you have in mind for them? What did you have in mind for them? So, Holy Spirit, I pray, and let's just take a moment, okay? We'll just take a minute here. Close your eyes. And just pray in agreement with God's heart for that person. And you know, what you may want to do, like, for instance, I got somebody in mind. You may want to see them as they currently are, okay? Just see them as they currently are, whatever that image is. But then ask, Holy Spirit, let me see them as you want them to be. Where he turns that critical, negative, angry, apathetic spirit around to one of passion, positivity, faith. Where now they are bold for God instead of bold in their own opinions. Lord, we come in agreement with that. Your will for them. That they're going to be brought into your presence and they're going to be holy and blameless and they're going to stand before you without a single fault. We declare over their lives that it be on earth as it is in heaven for them. On earth as it is in heaven. Say that with me. On earth as it is in heaven. Amen? Amen. Here's the thing. This is it. We know that we've encountered the life-changing presence of God when we can love and accept people where they are. And the outworking of this, I move into another section of the message. The outworking of this loving, accepting people where they are is this, is that we share the life and hope that we've experienced with them. We share that life and hope through knowing Jesus Christ and the power of the work of the Holy Spirit in our life. And so at this time, Doug's going to come up and talk about how we can live this stuff out and how we can move from experiencing the encounter to being the encounter. So grab the mic there. I don't know if you want to begin with this image. Oh, you want to? Okay. All right.
I believe God still does miracles. I believe he does the healing. I believe he does all the miraculous still. But there's one thing that I also believe God does with miracles. And that's, he partners with us to be the miracle, okay? So what we're talking about here is experiencing the encounter and being the encounter, okay? So this is something that changed my life, the way I looked at people and the way that I, just going in every day, like movie theaters or shopping malls, it was one thing that changed my life. It was me waking up in the morning and being with a grateful, thankful heart, always first thing, grateful, thankful heart. And then asking God to highlight someone for me today. Highlight someone that needs your miracle, okay? And so in that period of time, you have to ask also, we need to make the space, okay? Because a lot of times you're in the store, you're running all place, place, place. You just create that critical little bit of time that you can get into a store and you can come on out or wherever, get to your point A to point B as fast as possible. It's clearing amount of time that allots for that to take place. It allots for you to be the miracle, to partner with God to be the miracle, okay? And then it also takes an amount of courage, okay? And it's a courage to take the risk. And when you're in the store, this is the way I like to look at it, okay? So I always like to look, when I walk in a store or a movie theater in particular, I always like to picture little waterfalls of love falling on every single person, that God loves all these people. And when someone cuts me off or like, you know, steps in front of me or bumps me and just kind of rude, I always go back to that picture, that this love is falling on him, that this is who God has intended this love to be on him, okay? So in the process of that, and we came up with this this challenge kind of to help nurture this. So we came up with this card, and I'd like to challenge you to grab one of these cards. They're out at the information booth. And one of the things that I find a lot of times is the common factor that God has revealed to me is people feel so insignificant. They feel God does not love them. They feel that he's this moral police officer in the sky going, I'm going to get you, I'm going to get you. And that truth is, it's so far from the truth, it's ridiculous. So what we came up with was this little, and we're going to have probably more professional ones made, I think, but for now, this is a temporary one we came up with. But I'd like you to grab one of these cards, okay? And I'd like you to wake up in the morning every single day, and it might not happen, you know, tomorrow. It might not happen until Friday, okay? But ask God to highlight a person to you because you want to be the miracle. And a lot of times that miracle looks like a place where you're at the right time, at the right place, and just saying the right thing to a person. And I've done this a lot. And the experience that you get from it is unbelievable. It's unbelievable. So what these are is they're basically paraphrasing of Bible verses. And it'll say, you couldn't be loved more than you are at this very moment because you are loved with the same perfect love the Father has for the Son. And it's got a little Bible verse at the bottom if they want to dig into it. Okay, and then the other side is, you are inseparable from God's love and will never be abandoned. And so I want this week for you to grab one of these cards and try these three things. Highlight the person. God, would you highlight a person? Help me be the miracle. Help me be your miracle. Make the space. Say, help me create this time that when I'm going from all these places, I'm not in a complete rush, that I won't miss the person. Because I believe a lot of times God wants to deliver these miracles to people, and he wants to partner with us, but we're just too busy to hear them. So, and then it's take the risk. There is always a risk. But with the Holy Spirit at your side, it's really not a risk. He's gonna walk you through it. There's so many times where I'm like, oh man, I can't believe I'm gonna go do this. And all of a sudden it changes that person's day, that person's life. It's amazing. And I'll share some of those with you another time. And there's another opportunity that we're coming with as well, and that's the Loving BSD organization. And if for some people that don't know what it is, it's Loving BISD is a faith-based group of volunteers connecting with local churches and public schools, okay? To serve and assist with academic, professional, social development needs of the school by extending our church community and surrounding the school with our faith. And they're going to have some different opportunities. Now, Angie Topper is kind of being our point person right now, and she's not going to be here today, but she's going to have a sign-up sheet. Oh, there you are. I thought you were, I totally missed you. She's here, okay. Angie, I'm happy you're here. Okay, so Angie Topper, so you're going to come up with a sign-up sheet, right? Okay, when you get the assignments that we're going to have, because I don't believe we have them yet, correct? Okay. So when she gets those, we're going to have a sign-up sheet, and there's some of the opportunities are mentoring students, reading volunteers to kindergartners and first graders. They need a great deal of vocational training, teacher assisting with opportunities such as teacher aides, hall monitors, and workroom assistants. The other opportunities include partnering with the facility and providing art supplies for the school art program. Now, here's what got me about this. I love statistics, and so this is what got me. With a mentoring program such as this, 52% of students are less likely than their peers to skip school. They are 5 times more likely to graduate if they have a meaningful relationship with an adult and with a volunteer and or mentor influence. They are 46% likely than their peers to start using illegal drugs or drinking alcohol. So this is another way that we can be the miracle. This is another way. And those statistics are like just to be a person around another person, to be that inspiration, because right now I don't know if the family is being as strong as it once was. So being that positive mentor, I think, is going to be awesome. So if you want to stay in touch, there's a Facebook page, and you can just like it and be in touch. So thank you.
Loving BISD, because of the hurricane and flooding, all that, it's been set back a number of months. So she's going to be going to a training this week, and we'll learn more about it. But again, we experience the encounter, and then we become the encounter for somebody else. And again, it looks real practical, just, you know, helping out with tutoring or whatever it may be. Just the other day, So I'm beginning this thing. I'm doing this thing. Okay, Lord, highlight the person. Mine has always been the second step, make the space. Because make the space, it means just mentally be aware, keep your eyes open. And I don't. Honestly, I got a job to do, let's get it done. And if you happen to get right in my face, then I'll talk to you. You know, that kind of thing. And so I've been saying, okay, Lord, I want a wider view. And I'm telling you, every day, every stinking or good day, all right? Every day he does something. Yesterday, I had an opportunity. Now, I operate in the word of knowledge and kind of prophetic revelation the Lord gives me. And so I love doing that for people. Normally it's with Christians, people I'm praying for and that kind of thing. Well, I've just said, Lord, I want to take it now to the second level, the people that I know that I'm kind of acquaintances with, you know, people that maybe we know each other, but we don't really have a deep conversation. So I said, Lord, just give me stuff for people, okay? And so this person came to mind. I go to the rec center and work out. The person came to mind. I thought, okay. And I said, Lord, what is it? What's going on? And the Lord gave me some insight. Here's what's happening, or here's some thoughts. And so you take the risk. And so I pulled her off, and I said, hey, would you mind if I just talk to you a minute? And this is why I say it. Now, again, this is just me. You do it your own way. But I just said, look, I've just been praying and asking God to speak to me, and he highlighted you, and I feel like maybe God just wants to speak to you about a few things, but it's for your discernment. It may just be me. It may just, you know, so just take it as such. And I just shared with her kind of what I felt like the Lord wanted her to know. And man, I mean, she just begins to cry. We're praying, and she just, you know, she begins to cry. And then after, give me a hug. I mean, that's what she's asking me to do with her. Because here's what people need. What did you say people need? You said some people need something.
They feel insignificant.
Yeah, people do. They feel insignificant. And the other thing people need, they need hope.
That's right.
People need hope.
Yeah.
You know? They need that encouragement. It's going to be okay. God's with you. And so just giving hope to people, whatever that may look like. The other day, saw a senior adult woman, had my eyes wide open, said, okay, Lord, and I didn't help her out. It was just like helping her down some stairs. I'm like, why, you buffoon? What were you thinking? There it was, right there, and you didn't even do it. Come on. And I thought, oh, but you'll give me another chance, you know. And so that's what I'm saying. It's as wide as you want to make it to be, okay? It can be giving them money. People always appreciate that, okay? Giving them a word, giving them encouragement, spending time, whatever. But we experience the presence of God, his life-changing presence, and then we become that encounter. We experience the encounter, then we become the encounter. Let me get to one last thing, and then we'll wrap this thing up. And that is, encountering the life-changing presence of God happens when we invest in purposeful relationships. Listen, God put us in families. That's what the Psalm says. He put us in families. He didn't create us as a bunch of just individuals, right? He created us. He created Adam and Eve. Put them in, they were a family. Abraham and his family. The children of Israel were a family. Acts chapter 2, the believers came together and they spent time with one another. They were a family. We've emphasized since when May, something like that, from friendly to family. Listen, I'm glad you're friendly. You need to be friendly, but we need to be a family. And a family's different. Family doesn't happen in a large group. Family happens in small groups. And I just want to ask you this question. Who is your faith family? And I'm not asking this, who do you know or who are you friends with or, you know, do you go to our church, whatever, who do you talk to at Willow Drive? I'm asking you this, who is the group that you're meeting with, that you're praying with, that you're being encouraged by, that who's standing with you? Who's that group? See, in Acts chapter 2 and 4, it says they met together regularly. And it says in other places they met in homes. And so it wasn't just a big meeting where they're all together and, you know, worshiping God. It was these small meetings that they were praying for each other and sharing their food and sharing their money. God uses small groups in our life to grow us. I mean, where would you be today? Honestly, where would you be today if you didn't have your adult Bible fellowship or you didn't have your small group of people that were supporting you? Where would you be today? God uses groups in our life to bring encouragement to us, to bring support to us, to give us objectivity, because oftentimes we get kind of locked into situations and this is all we see, but when a group speaks to us, we think, oh yeah. To bring power, to bring prayer, to bring encounters with God, that God uses people to grow us, to challenge us, uses people in our lives to protect us. I mean, that we just think, if you just kind of did your Christian life by yourself, and it's just a bunch of individuals, what would that look like? How mature would you be in the Lord? So again, going to this question, who's your group? I mean, Jesus had a group, right? David had a group. Daniel had a group. Paul had a group. Who is your group? Who are the people that you meet with on a regular basis to receive prayer, encouragement, support, and the study of the words? Listen, this is what I know. Every year, our church is no different than any other church, okay? But every year, we have people that leave our church, okay? It's not because you're bad, not because I'm awful, not because Doug's terrible. I mean, it's none of that, okay? Here's why. And I know this. I was just looking over some people. Over the last 6 months, we lost 4 families. Why did they all leave? They didn't have a church family. They had a big church family. They didn't have a little church family. Every one of them. They left us to go find a little family. I'm not condemning you. I'm not saying you're bad. Didn't you reach out? I'm not saying that. Okay, don't even read into that. I'm just saying that's the necessity that we have to have a group of people that we can grow together with. Because if you don't, you get discouraged, you fall, and nobody sees it. You see, that's what accountability is. A lot of people look at accountability and think, oh, I don't want accountability, meaning somebody's going to hammer me. No, accountability means they're looking after you. You need people that will look after you. And that doesn't happen just by showing up on a Sunday morning, coming to an 8:30 or 11 o'clock service. You're just getting inspired here. But you need a church family, a small group of people who are looking after you. Think about this. There's also incomplete growth. You know, you find spiritual nourishment in a group, not just from one source. You know, I used this example a number of months ago. I mean, if all you ate were eggs and sausage, what would your life look like? Some people say, hey, it looked pretty good, you know. Not after a while it wouldn't, okay. You would be at the doctor's office a whole lot, right? You need nourishment from a lot of different sources. And so it is. That's one reason why you need a group. So who is your faith family that you are meeting with consistently? Some people have this idea, well, you know, I like Jesus. I just don't like his disciples, okay? Listen, if you like him, you have to take them, okay? That's just the way it goes. He's the head, we're the what? We're the body. You can't just say, well, I just want to take the head around. No, you got to take the body as well. We're all a part of this thing together. So here's our plan, is that we want every person in our church to be connected to one of these things here. And I put the rooted and connected events. That's more an event-based kind of thing. And they had the ladies' game night last Sunday night. But it's a good connecting kind of thing. Help people get connected. But the other ones are typically ongoing, especially our adult Bible fellowships. For those that don't know, they meet at 9:45 on Sunday mornings. As soon as we dismiss here, that's where they're going. And that gets you connected with a group of people to receive encouragement. We also have study groups. These are just typical short-term groups. We have a ladies group. They're meeting, is it this Wednesday? One at 9:30, and the next one, and then one at 6:30, doing the same study for how long? 12 weeks? 7 weeks? And and it's a great way to get connected with people. We have a men's group that now has started. It meets on Wednesday nights at 6:30. Our encounter groups, the difference between the encounter groups and the other groups is the encounter groups are more relationship-based with study of the Word, whereas most of the other groups, or at least the study groups, are more Bible study-based with relationship kind of secondary. I mean, it all happens, but again, you're getting connected with people. And so the encounter groups, their purpose is to help you encounter God through prayer, encounter God through His Word, encounter God through others. And those three groups, the adult Bible fellowships, the men's group, and the encounter groups are ongoing. In other words, they don't have an end in sight. They'll keep going through the summer and the like. So find a place where you can get connected. And let me find out, do we have any of our adult Bible fellowship leaders here this morning? Anybody that's a teacher or a leader in an adult Bible fellowship? We've got David with Overcomers, Renew, and New Beginnings. So you can talk to these folks about their ABFs and how you can get involved there. It's important, folks, it is important that you find a place where you can get rooted and you get connected with other people. Amen? Amen. That's what we're going after. So let's stand together. We're going to close out the service here. And let me just close out with that challenge. Who is your faith family? Would you bow your heads with me? As we have said before, some of you are like, well, I don't know. Should I? Shouldn't I? I'm not aware. Look, God is on the other side of uncomfortable, okay? He's on the other side of awkward. So you got to move one step. And in moving that one step, you'll make the connection and things will begin to happen in your life. So move beyond it. If you don't have a group, find a group. The encounter groups meet on Wednesday nights, or mine does. There's information in the bulletin. You can contact me. The ladies group, you can contact Elaine over here. Men's group meets on Wednesdays at 6:30. Again, just take the risk. Get uncomfortable. Get connected. The other thing I want you to do is to pray this in your heart. Say, Lord Jesus, highlight a person for me today. And help me now to make the space to encounter them. Just in your heart, pray. I want to experience your encounter, and I want to be an encounter for someone. And then, Holy Spirit, fill me with boldness to do what it is you're asking me to do in that moment. Lord, it is our heart's desire that we don't hold on to what we are experiencing here, but that we give what we are experiencing here to others who lack significance, who feel insignificant, who lack hope, who need wisdom, who need a sense of your presence. Lord, we want to take what you've given us and distribute it to others. So I pray, Holy Spirit, that you give us the boldness to do that. We ask this in Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Amen.